How do you do? The horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is of the Lord. In other words, prepare for the worst and pray for the best. After fighting in World War II, the man in this story came home to live in peace, but would face the most unexpected fight of all. He was prepared and fought bravely because his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
Kids aren't getting any better.
I know. The flu shouldn't last this long.
And their fevers are still high, even though we gave them the antibiotics.
I think Jack's voice sounds peculiar, Art.
Yes, and Joyce can't raise her left arm.
That started today.
Good grief, Marilyn. These kids have polio.
Speaking the truth in love, this is Unshackled. True life stories of real people, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. Some homeless people think they're free to roam at will, but in fact, they're held captive by invisible chains that lead them to dark places. Pacific Garden Mission keeps the doors open day and night for them. Thanks to friends who care and send financial gifts, the old lighthouse provides nourishing meals, a safe place to sleep, and showers and fresh clothing. Even medical and dental treatment is given without charge in the Mission Clinic to resident guests. Mission pastors and counselors introduce them to the one who can set them free of their chains, free to walk in new life. Now for broadcast around the earth. Here is program number 3284 in the series, Unshackled. The program that makes you face yourself and think.
Those must be the iron lungs. They look like giant caskets.
It's so sad to see people's heads only poking out one end of them.
I couldn't tolerate it.
Oh, I pray that our children don't need them.
Oh, there's the doctor. Let's see if he's examined the kids today.
Doctor?
Yes?
Our children are in the isolation area.
Your little girl is doing better. Her fever is down.
Okay.
She has upper spinal polio that's affecting her left shoulder.
And Jack?
His condition is more serious. He has bulbar polio, which paralyzes the throat muscles and prevents swallowing.
Oh, my.
If he pulls through, he'll have very little paralysis. But if his condition worsens, he may have to go into an iron lung.
Not those monsters we passed back there.
Yes.
How do they work?
An electric motor and a pump change the pressure inside and pull air in and out of the lungs, breathing for the patient.
What if it quits?
The patient could die.
The man in this story was a young father then. How he responded to the crisis is extraordinary. This is the conclusion of the true testimony of Arthur Gordon, right now on Unshackled.
When I returned from the war in 1946, I attended a two-year Bible school in Philadelphia. I met Marilyn the first year, and we became friends. Then we started dating. I've prayed about it, and I'm going to join the evangelistic team that Evan is organizing.
You'll do the preaching?
Yes, and singing, and whatever else they need. We'll go to churches and other organizations in the area.
You'll be gone a lot then.
Mostly weekends. It's a great chance to serve the Lord.
Well, you're a good preacher, Art.
I think I need more training, so I'll probably go on to seminary when we graduate.
I won't see much of you then.
Well, we'll make up for lost time after we're married. Marilyn and I were married the evening of our graduation from Bible school. During our honeymoon, we visited the campus of a seminary in Winona Lake, Indiana, where I started college classes in the fall. I worked part-time to support my family, which grew by one when our son Jim was born. Joyce, our daughter, came along, and our second son was born 3 years later. I pastored a church while I was in seminary and spent many hours on my knees praying that God would make the ministry fruitful. I graduated in 1954 with a Bachelor of Theology. A year later, we moved to a small town east of Cincinnati, where we established a church.
It's hard to believe that our Jack will be starting school soon.
So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom.
God is amazing, giving us these beautiful children.
Giving me a job at the biscuit factory while we establish the church.
Oh, you work so hard, honey.
Oh, the church is growing, Marilyn. Only 3 months, and people are regular in their attendance.
He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much.
Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. I didn't know the calamity that was coming, but I had learned to completely trust the Lord. In August, our oldest and youngest children appeared to get the flu. When I realized they had signs of polio, we rushed them to Children's Hospital in Cincinnati. Our middle son had mild symptoms, so he remained home in the care of Marilyn's mother. A few days after the children were hospitalized, I began feeling sick, so I left work early and stopped by the hospital to visit the children.
Your son is actually holding his own. He's still very sick, but if he continues to improve, we can transfer him into a convalescent home.
Oh, praise the Lord. Doctor, I'm afraid I may be getting polio. I have the same symptoms my children had.
It's probably the flu.
Well, that's what the doctor said about my children, but they had polio.
I wouldn't worry about your symptoms.
But I'm feverish and feeling weaker every day.
Go home and stay in bed a few days.
I took his advice, but I learned later that doctors thought my illness was sympathetic hysteria because of our children's affliction. My condition grew worse.
Has the medicine helped that Dr. George brought you?
No, Marilyn. I believe it's polio.
Oh, I hope not, Art.
I've never felt this bad in my life, Marilyn. My whole body aches.
I can see your legs trembling. Maybe it's the fever.
I'll see if I can get out of bed.
Well, I'll help you.
Oh, Marilyn, this is awful. What am I going to do?
Well, what is it, Art?
I can only move my legs a little back and forth. My legs dragged as men from church carried me to the car. The doctor ordered a spinal tap to check for polio, and the test was positive. They transported me to the contagious ward, past the iron lungs I had seen many times as an anxious parent visiting my children. As I lay in bed, they kept checking my respiration.
Doctor, I just left my husband's side, and he's breathing very fast.
We're checking his respiration every few minutes.
He can hardly get his breath.
Yes, his breathing capacity is declining. Bulbar polio attacks the chest muscles. We may have to put him in an iron lung to help him breathe.
How long would he be in one?
Sometimes a few weeks. Sometimes for life.
By evening, I was panting for breath and delirious with fever. When they suggested I go into the iron lung, I agreed, but I don't remember the transfer. During my few rational moments, within 2 weeks, I worried. The thought of spending the rest of my life trapped in this machine was almost more than I could bear. One day, the iron lung wasn't giving me enough air. I began gasping for breath. My mother was there with Marilyn, and I called out to her.
Mom! Can't breathe!
Somebody help! My husband can't breathe!
I lost consciousness and woke up to a room of doctors, nurses, and attendants. They had pressed a positive pressure apparatus to my face, and I could feel the fresh air filling my lungs. They soon locked me in the iron lung again, but I never trusted it after that. The thought of spending the rest of my life there filled me with dread.
How are you doing, honey?
I can't move my legs at all.
Well, you're still moving your right arm, though.
It's getting weaker.
Oh, Art, I'm so sorry, honey.
I'm scared, Marilyn.
What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee.
Yes, yes.
He hath said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee.
Good thing.
And neither will I, honey.
A As long as I had muscle tone, I used my one good arm and hand to position the other one as I lay in the iron lung. But soon, both arms were limp. The paralysis crept into my neck, and I couldn't turn my head. One side of my jaw became stiff, making it difficult to open my mouth. I wondered what would be next.
In a moment, we'll hear where this would lead. Pray without ceasing, the Bible commands, and we do. We get many requests for prayer from our listeners, like this one. Please pray for God to give our family strength, for we have lost two loved ones, a grandfather and aunt. I've listened to your show Unshackled since I was 8 years old. Now I'm 27. God bless you, and I hope God gives your show many more years. Well, we hope so, too. This person asked, please pray for my youngest brother and his wife. They are struggling in their marriage, and their sons are making wrong decisions. We pray for each request that comes in the mail or through the Internet. So please let us know if you have some need for prayer. You can request prayer on our website, www.unshackled.org. Click on Submit a Prayer. We also send these prayer petitions to our prayer band, people like you who want to serve the Lord in this simple but vital ministry. We send petitions to our prayer band once or twice a month as stipulated. You can also become a part of our prayer band by writing or emailing us, like this person who wrote, I was listening to Unshackled last night and heard your request for prayer warriors. I've been looking for a way to serve my Lord, and this sounds just perfect. I would like to start out by receiving prayer requests once a month, and hopefully, once I get the hang of it, I will be able to do more. I also want to let you know how much I love your program, Unshackled. Whether you need prayer or want to pray for others, write and tell us. The address is Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. That's Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Please include your address.
Doctor, he's been in the iron lung for more than 3 weeks. How much longer do you think he'll have to stay?
As soon as his fever drops, we can experiment with the breathing apparatus that gives him more freedom.
Oh, at least our children are improving in the rehabilitation home.
Yes, they're making good progress.
My husband's voice is so weak, Doctor.
That's because he can only speak while he's exhaling. He's unable to speak while the iron lung is pumping his chest full of air.
What a horrible disease. But God is faithful.
I believe your husband is calling for you.
Yes, honey?
I want you to do something for me.
What's that?
Bring me the scripture plaque from the wall at home.
Proverbs 3, 5, and 6.
Yes. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart.
And lean not unto thine own understanding.
I've been thinking about that.
Good.
I need to be reminded to trust God.
In all thy ways, acknowledge him.
And he shall direct thy paths.
He will, honey.
The future has seemed so dark.
Not when you have the light of the world.
We hung the plaque above my head on the iron lung, in plain view of visitors, staff, and me. I lay on a surface that slid out like a cookie tray so the physical therapist could exercise my limbs. I began telling her about Jesus. And then I spoke to a young psychiatrist who was trying to evaluate how permanent paralysis affected me.
What did you tell him?
The iron lung is now my pulpit.
Wonderful.
I said, all things work together for good to them that love God.
To them who are the called according to his purpose.
He shook his head and walked away.
What they do with God's word is up to them, Art. At least you're sowing the seed.
I told the therapist that God loves her.
And what did she do?
Change the subject.
The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Men love darkness rather than light.
The devil just has them deceived.
Well, don't be discouraged.
God's word doesn't return to him void.
I was in the iron lung for a month before my fever dropped. They transferred me to an oscillating bed. I was still attached to a respirator. One day, a student nurse was making her final round of patients, saying goodbye for the day. She came to my bedside and started a conversation.
I won't see you tomorrow. Sunday's my day off.
Do you go to church?
Yes.
Are you saved?
I don't understand.
Church attendance doesn't save you. Only Christ does.
Really?
Get my New Testament from the drawer. Read John chapter 3, verse 16.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son.
What's wrong?
I don't know.
That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name.
I didn't realize.
Christ died for our sins.
I always knew he was special.
The Son of God came to give us life, and life more abundantly.
Thank you for telling me this.
Would you like to be saved?
Yes.
Would you like to pray?
I can't.
I'll pray for you.
I had never had such a quick response to the gospel, and I was thrilled. That evening, the nurse's roommate came to see me. She asked me what I'd said to the girl to make her cry so much. I explained how Christ died for our sins and asked her if she wanted to be saved. At first she declined, but then she too burst into tears of repentance and wanted to pray for salvation. I couldn't move a muscle below my neck, but my heart was doing spiritual gymnastics. During the night, I needed attention and called for the nurse, who was also a roommate of the other two girls. She commented on their change, and I explained the gospel to her. She refused to pray at first. Then she decided to pray quietly to God. A few evenings later, all three of the girls paid me a visit on their off-duty hours.
We wanted to thank you for telling us about Jesus.
Oh, well, read the Bible daily and go to church.
We are.
Read 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15.
But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear.
Sanctify means to set apart.
We're going to join a Bible study at church.
Would you pray before you go?
Yes. Dear Lord, thank you for saving us. Thank you for dying for our sins. Help us to learn more about you. We pray that you will bring healing to this man who shared your sacrificial love with us. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
And this was the same girl who couldn't pray when she was saved?
The Holy Spirit did his work in her.
The Lord is using you, Art.
The word of God is quick and powerful.
And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow.
And is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
The children are memorizing Bible verses, too.
Oh, good, good. Is Mom still here?
Yes. Oh, I don't know what I'd do without her. They want us to move to Pennsylvania with them. They'll live in the upstairs and we'll have the downstairs.
Because I was so weak, I was one of the last ones transferred to the Rehabilitation Center for Respiratory Treatment in Columbus. It was January 1956. Although I traveled by ambulance, it was frightening to face life without the power to breathe on my own. A nurse traveled with us and kept the battery-powered respirator working, while the driver smoked, which almost strangled me. At my new home, I would learn glossopharyngeal breathing, or frog breathing, that allowed me occasional freedom from the respirator. One day, the staff psychologist questioned me.
What were your aspirations before polio struck?
Pastor, evangelist, missionary.
Had you tried any of these?
Oh, all of them.
And were they satisfying?
Oh, yes.
Have you ever considered writing for publication?
Well, I've never written anything. Maybe a sermon or two, but they were disappointing.
You can learn.
How can I write without the use of my hands?
We'll find a way, if you want to try. There's always the mouth stick.
Mouth stick?
You clamp it in your mouth, and you can use it many ways. To tap an electric typewriter or turn pages.
I could read the Bible again. One day, they pushed my wheelchair to a table with an electric typewriter and handed me the mouth stick. Finally, I could express my thoughts without restrictions. It was laborious, but rewarding. The seeds for a future ministry were sown. The psychologist plied me with questions, so I told her I wanted to ask her some questions sometime. The next day, she came to my bedside.
Well, where do we begin?
Did you know that God loves you and that Jesus died for your sins?
Why, Mr. Gordon, I have my own religious faith. And anyway, I don't think I've ever sinned.
You mean to tell me that you have never sinned?
Well, maybe just a little.
There are no little sins. God says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all guilty, all condemned to eternal hell, but Jesus died for us.
This is what you wanted to discuss?
Yes. As by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so, death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned.
Really, Mr. Gordon, I thought you wanted to discuss your health.
But God commendeth his love toward us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Please excuse me. I have other appointments.
We never discussed faith again. Marilyn couldn't visit as often because she took care of the home and children. But she did visit and encouraged me in my newfound writing career.
I think it's a great idea to take a correspondence course in writing.
I'm writing a piece called Christian, Make Your Handicap a Pulpit.
You've certainly done that.
God has used the mouth stick.
Maybe you can have it published.
Maybe.
Well, you have a pastor's heart and a new ministry art, encouraging and exhorting those with handicaps or shut-ins like you.
It's the Holy Spirit's idea, Marilyn.
How much longer will you be here?
It's a 13-month treatment.
Well, being here revealed your purpose in life.
My manuscript was published, and I took two courses in writing from a Christian writers group. When my rehabilitation period ended, my family and I moved to Pennsylvania with my parents.
We're glad to have all you here with us.
Thanks, Dad.
We tried to arrange things to be wheelchair compatible. Built the ramp so you can come and go outside.
Marilyn and I plan to start a ministry.
You never did lack ideas, Art.
Art is going to write articles that we'll print and mail out to encourage others who are handicapped.
Won't that be expensive?
We have a small savings for the first issue.
After that, we'll see if God approves by providing for future mailings.
Who will you mail it to?
We got hundreds of cards and letters while Art was in the hospital. That's the basis of our mailing list. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Triumph. Your dad's gonna put a control panel near your chin so you can turn things on and off with your mouth stick.
Good.
More letters came in the mail, some with donations.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Our mailing list is up to 4,000 now.
Your mom made some cookies.
Ah, great. I see you picked up the mail.
Yeah, good thing you got your own post office box.
Each letter is from someone who needs encouragement.
I had an idea, Dad.
Not another one of your ideas.
Gift from God.
Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above.
He gave me Marilyn, didn't he?
And he gave you the gift of new life in Christ Jesus.
Marilyn has been my legs and arms. She's also been my business manager, treasurer, proofreader, cook, chauffeur, and a myriad of other tasks I cannot do. But all the glory belongs to my Lord and Savior, who died for me and assures me of eternity in heaven.
According to Romans chapter 8, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Listening friend, if you are suffering, remember Jesus who died on the cross for your sins so you can have eternal life in heaven with God. If you have never put your trust in the finished work of Christ on the cross, you can do that now wherever you are. Pray to God in your own words, repenting of your sins and asking for salvation. If you need help in making this crucial decision, get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry. www.unshackled.org. Recently, someone emailed us, "I heard Unshackled while running errands. Love the program." Well, thank you. And we hope you will ask the manager of this station to keep broadcasting Unshackled. This is program number 3,284. Heard in the classic True Story of Arthur Gordon, Part 2, were Brad Armacost, Anna Maria Alvarez, Rick Dianofsky, Jane Hahnemann, and Cynthia Judge. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Nadine Aloysio Sorensen. Engineer, Kim Rasmussen. Script, Kenitha Gabler. Directed by Don Stroop. And I'm Timothy Gregory. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Please write today. Your letter means a great deal to us. The address? Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.